Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3. Looks like we're live. Just waiting for Melissa to join us here on the Zoom call. And might be her.
Hey
Alyssa.
there.
Hi, I can
Oh,
hear you, but I can't see you.
hey, can
But
you
I
hear
can
me?
see
Well, that will all change in time. All
Okay.
right, cool. Well done. It's funny, I use Zoom for work. I didn't know that like human beings that weren't robots used Zoom.
Know. I was almost embarrassed to send you the invite because I'm like, all right, well, now we're going to have a business agenda and there's going to have to be deliverables at the end of this conversation.
I know, right? It's pretty funny. I don't know what the hell's going on with Skype, but then again, I haven't used it in probably 6 months, so
I know. It
or
also seems like it's one of those platforms where I'm like, does that thing even exist anymore? I'm always surprised that.
I know, right? And it was like, want to add credit? I was like, oh no, are they gonna make me pay? I know they all make us pay in time, figuratively or literally, but
And the inconvenience. Well, I'm glad we got to connect anyway. And so yeah, thanks so much for agreeing to do this. I know you sounded excited over email, but obviously this is hello, I see you now.
Hey, I'm a person.
This, yeah. Yeah, that's
I
true. Not just a writer anymore,
know,
but
but a human being, a
human
regular
being.
old human being with faith
It's nice. It's nice to see you. And thank you for doing
and
this.
everything. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
Where are you based?
I'm in Manhattan.
Okay. It sound
The place where you pay lots and lots of money to just never leave your house. How about you?
So, yeah, I'm in Tucson, in Arizona.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. I was just there recently. I had never been after hearing about how great it was for years. And it so happened that my family moved to the Southwest. They moved to like Albuquerque or whatever, but I love the Southwest. And so when I went to go see them this last time, I was like, Tucson's only 6 hours away. I'll go drive over there.
Only
So
six
yeah, so I
hours.
went and it was like around Christmas time and it was 75 degrees and awesome.
That's a
Really
great
good
time of
friend of
year.
mine from my hometown, a really good friend of mine has lived out there for many, many years. He's a stand-up comic and
Wow.
he's like performing all the time. His name's Chris Thayer.
Chris Thayer, huh? I'll have to check him out. I
You'll
wasn't even
like end up running
aware.
into him like around. He's definitely he's like one of the bigger stand-up randos in the local city of Tucson. So I went out there and hung out with him and it was lovely. And then you guys have this huge writing program at the university and I'm like, what a lovely life.
It's no, it's true. It's a lovely little life with a big literary scene. That's a lot of L's in one sentence. But it doesn't surprise me that there's also a bustling stand-up scene because I feel like, the
It's
artists
not
who don't
bustling.
it's
It's
just your
just
friend
really,
Chris, no one
yeah.
else, just a
Well,
one-man show.
he like has he started a couple like nights where like they're bringing out other people, but there's not that much going on.
I mean, I feel like I would prefer it to the actual bustling literary scene of Manhattan. Like that just scares me. Are
Yeah,
you caught up in that
and
at all?
it scares me too because it scares me in the way that like I have nothing has made me in my adult life feel like I was a 14-year-old girl with no friends in the cafeteria, like standing there with my lunch tray and being like, "Can I get a seat? Can I sit down anywhere?" And people that are too cool for me like won't make space. That's how it makes me feel. So on the one hand, I've met incidentally, and have even befriended pretty much anybody who's come out with a book in the last like 3 or 4 years, which wow. is really cool. It makes for a different experience going to the bookstore and being like, you know, I know who these fucking people are. And like, I know, right. you know, the painstaking bullshit of like that they went through to like get this fucking book on the shelf. But on the other side, like I would happily walk away from it. Like, it's not really, I don't even know that it's a scene. There's some groups of friends. And then there's people like me. That's just like one, I don't know, maybe one of these days I'll make a writer friend, but there's a writing school here that is called Catapult that has a weekend event that's called Don't Write Alone, and it gets all the okay. like losers who don't have friends to go.
I love that.
I meet all the writers who also don't have friends, and I make friends there, but that's only once a year. So
you guys like get together in silence all with your laptops and just you just hear oh, the sound have, of tapping keys. Oh, they have panels
and like it's oh, okay. a proper, like it's like a mini convention or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I always felt a little guarded talking about writing around other writers. Like I always felt like I have, you know, like I can't let them know my magic because then I'll just lose it. So I don't know if you guys are just like totally free flowing and
writers are the worst people to ask about their work.
Yeah.
I had that conversation with like 30 people last weekend. And it doesn't go well for anybody, and yet we keep asking the question. Oh, what do you write?
Yeah,
I don't know, essays. I write memoir. Like you can't help it. Like I write memoir too, but whenever I hear somebody say I write memoir, I'm like, oh, self-involved bitch. You know. and I write it too, so like you know, it's just yeah, we can't help it. It's terrible.
Wow. So can I use then that as a prompt to ask you about your writing process? I mean, is where oh. do you write?
Yeah, sure. My writing process is to channel all of my genius and bring it to the page. No, I had no writing process for most of my life. And the thing that's funny is I like still kind of identify with that era of my life because it lasted so long where I wanted to write. I wanted to write so like I wrote for myself. I wrote like in a journal, or I like wrote letters to friends, or I get a wild hair at my ass and write like a manifest or like a political screed and have nothing to do with it in the world. You know, I just have this writing books of writing sitting around, but with no expectation that I would ever have anyone see it or read it or that I would publish it. And that was most of my life. And then when I did get through my thick skull that like I do have to publish some things if I want to actually make this a real feature of my life and be recognized for what I do and maybe be asked to do it, like I would love to be asked to write a thing, then I'm going to have to put myself out there. And that trying to put pen to paper or words to laptop with the conscious awareness that it was going to be read by somebody kind of fucked me up for like 10 years and I couldn't do it.
Wow.
So I don't know how like people in their 20s are like, you know, writing things for the internet. It's like, I don't know. I found it hard, almost impossible to do. So my process now is actually like completely the opposite. I'm like a completely different person when it comes to that. I figured out a couple years ago that like I actually have it in me to just sit down and turn the tap on and something will come out. And something will come out consistently. And it may not be the best thing in the world, but I also don't like wasting my time. So I tend to use everything that I write. So I know that you're supposed to write like miles of garbage and throw it out and just keep the good stuff. Either I am such a genius that I can't write garbage, or I'm such an idiot that I try to recycle my garbage, but it would pain me too much to have written things that I don't try to do something with. So I try to make something out of pretty much everything.
Wow.
Right? Even if I just turn it into some fucking weird poem or something, like just, you know, so.
Is there any other kind of poem?
Is there any other kind of poem other than like a weird, what did I say, weird ass?
A fucking weird poem.
There are no other kinds of weird. I just learned about a poem type 10 minutes ago. Somebody pitched me a Sistina poem or Sistina poem. I don't even, I've never heard of it before. I'm like, yeah, sounds great.
Sounds great. I could do that.
What it is, I'm sure.
Do you need me to ride a tricycle on a high wire?
Oh, no, I don't have to write it. They're going to write it. That's great. They're going to write what they want. I don't know that I'd know the difference what kind of poem it was anyway. So,
that's funny.
So it's, as far as writing process, you know, I had learned a really sick and terrible thing after giving myself years where I gave myself the luxury of having time to write. Then I couldn't write anything and I wanted to die. And that went on for years and years. And it was very painful. I got a full-time job and a really robust career doing a shitload of other stuff that has nothing to do with writing. And I hardly have any time to write. And yet I get all, like, I've published, you know, I don't know, 200 things in the last 3 or 4
wow.
years by giving wow. myself literally, like, I write on Sundays. That's all that I have. I write on Sundays, and if I'm really tight and need to, like, get something to an editor or something, I might, like, write after work for a couple hours, like, maybe once or twice a week. Only when I'm crazy busy and I have something due. Other than that, I just write on Sundays. And now I'm at peace in the world. And it works.
It's amazing.
And I'm able to write stuff and publish it.
Do you hear that?
The secret is having no time.
That's the magic. Yeah. That's the magic. That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like in a weird way, this kind of puts your what happened piece in new perspective for me, because, like, you might be one of the only writers who managed to stuff like 10 years worth of days into a single day.
20 years, bitch. I know, right? Well, you got to paint in broad strokes, as I think. But yeah, again, like, proof to myself, really, that, like, shit that I once wrote, even if it was just notes about what the fuck I did that day. I wrote it down. I wanted to use it.
Yeah. Yeah.
The whole, you know, I and if I don't use it, then it galls me. So I'm driven by the need to, like, dredge up anything that I've written before it, like, and use it. So I mean that's the fire under my ass. It makes me
write. I hear that. I mean, isn't there also a sense in which, like just kind of talking about your what happened piece for a second, like it does make sense when asked what happened today to answer, well, what happened 20 years ago? Like, all moments are leading up to this one. I mean, that's how it works, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. I jumped at this when I saw it, because I was like, hey, I have a lot of stuff that I think is highly relevant to this. I could write a book on this. But
really?
So I was like, I must write something for this. I'm always looking for weird opportunities and weird calls for stuff. It's maybe not the most strategic thing. Maybe I should be like, I'm going to write for the New Yorker and I'm going to, like, pitch them until I die or something. But I'd actually just rather, like, use what I have and use what I love. I cast a wide net, and serendipity favors people who cast a wide net and are regularly looking for weird things. So that's, I mean, I found
it. I want to ask you about that. Like,
totally made for this.
I've heard that a few times, that this was a weird prompt. What happened today? I mean, can you talk about the weirdness? Because in a weird way, it's the most ordinary prompt, and it's what you do.
But that's exactly what makes it weird, is because it's actually the dullest thing. And I love this project so much that I even, like, wrote for somewhere else about this project.
Wow!
I wrote a piece for News Out writing about you guys, and, like, what the project was. The original essay, Nicholson Baker essay about what he did that day, that was, like, the original prompt. I read the essay and I thought the essay was garbage. I was like, and this guy, the writer of that essay, is apparently famous for writing about the quotidian, writing, bringing, you know, lovely, interesting stuff to, like, a very, like, banal format. So I'm ready to be impressed. And I was like, this is just a fucking boring chronicle of this guy's day. Like, okay, fine. Like, I can beat that.
Wow.
But so if anything, like what's weird is how that got published in the first place. That, quite honestly, like, because everybody has a day, everyone has the ability to speak their language, you know, so pretty much anyone can say anything, and in theory that could fly. And I think what's actually curious is that that one in particular, like, became the kind of the paragon of writing about one's day in like a, you know, for literary publication or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, is it a defense of that piece? I feel like I want to defend it here. And I'm wondering, is it legitimate to say, well, maybe one of its merits is that it is true to the ordinariness of daily life, that it hasn't embellished, that it has captured that banality as such without trying to literary it up?
Well, I mean, don't you have an obligation, even if you're not a literary writer, but just as a person who lives, don't you have an obligation to try and literary it up a little bit? You know? You've got all this paper. You could do anything you want with it.
I like that. I mean, make it beautiful somehow, I guess.
It didn't lack for beauty per se. I wanted to be impressed. And nothing particularly jumped out at me. Now, maybe I'm like too ready to like choke the issue and be like, give me your gold. I know it's in there, because I really care about the quotidian being beautiful. And that's the theme that I've kept alive in daily writing for 20 years. And I also knew, like, the thing that I happened to write that you guys happened to publish, if I had sat down 5 minutes later, would have been something completely different, because there's a whole other world of stuff that I would like, that I would love to go into. Like, and I've collected like so many quotes and thoughts from other writers over the years about why they don't categorize or why they don't catalog their days. And I mean, I think they're crazy for it, but that's like a whole other direction to have gone down, you know, like one that I remember reading not that long ago was a piece that Sadie Smith wrote. And she wrote a piece called Life Writing. And in it, she explains why she's never cared to keep track of, like, you know, what happened on what day or whatever. And that she just like lets her days just wash over her. And that trying to even write it down privately in her journal felt so forced. She said it felt like homework. I can't wrap my mind around it. I think that's crazy. I love my life. And I will forget everything in time. So I want to save as much of it as I can. I mean, if you could bother living it, can't you write it down?
I mean, do you have moments where you just thumb through old journals just for your own sake? Oh, I did this and that on that day.
You'd think I would. I actually, for as much as I just said, I feel totally unsentimental, and I never go looking. But wow. Knowing that it's there is like, it brings me pleasure to know that it's there, if not only because it's just a thing that quantifies the fact that I was alive, I did write some things down here.
Wow.
And just knowing that it's there, and that I did that work, and that work could be used for future work, as opposed to, like, I wouldn't know where to begin if I had to, like, if I were to try to invent something from my past. Like, I wouldn't even know where to begin. I'm so different from then. What?
Oop, I lost you there for a second. My internet connection is apparently unstable. Might be monsoon season related. See if we can end this and restart. That I'd probably rather not think about. All right, where is Elsa? Apologies, folks. Having some technical difficulties here. Appreciate your patience. I suppose it is one of the ironies of the digital medium that it just leaves no trace. Unlike the stack of papers that might add up to years of a life, there is absolutely no evidence that Melissa and I ever had a conversation, except for this recording. She should be joining me any second now. And I haven't even gotten a chance to ask her what happened today. That's the whole point of these conversations, is to ask writers what happened today, to get a sense of whether there's a difference between writing about their day and telling about it. And if there is, if writing about it is kind of the most kind of beautified version of that, or an aesthetic object of the day, and just telling about it is kind of humdrum play by play, where does the living fall on that spectrum from the ordinary to the extraordinary? Is there inherent beauty, an inherent literary quality to life as it's lived? Or is that something we add and embellish, or maybe even fabricate or imagine when we write? All these interesting questions that I really want to ask Melissa if she would happen to find her way back to this Zoom call. I just got an email from her. I'm coming back. My Zoom froze. Not so Zoom-like after all. Zoom.us. You know how it gives you those feedback ratings at the end of every call, thumbs up or thumbs down? This is the first time I went thumbs down because I was just so upset to lose him on the other end of the line when time is ticking. And now you have to listen to me drone on, for which I offer my sincere apologies and I'm grateful to any of those still sticking around. For a little background information, I thought I'd mention that Melissa's What Happened essay was pretty unique in telling a chronology of June 21st, going back 20 years. I was mistaken. I thought it was 10. And it really does show, a journey of a life. Just taking this single cross section, the single through line of the same day. And, you'd think just picking the same day every year would be kind of arbitrary. But it did seem like this particular day was adding up to something. Any case, I think as we're nearing our time limit here, I'm going to have to bow out and concede defeat to technology. Thank you so much for listening to me and getting a little bit of Melissa. We will be back soon with another iteration of what happened to these writers. Thank you.